Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. State prison officials are searching for a man who escaped from a Northwest Alabama prison wearing only his boxers. Corrections officials say 61-year-old David Wood escaped from the Hamilton Aged and Infirm Center just after 8 o'clock Monday morning. One of the informational meetings scheduled for parents of children attending foreclosing MPS schools has been postponed. The meeting originally scheduled for tonight at Lee High School will now be held June 7th. The other meetings are set for Thursday at Carver High School and May 31st at Park Crossing High School. And the South Central Business District held a candidate forum last night. Voters got the chance to meet candidates for the Montgomery County School Board, the Alabama Senate seat for District 26, as well as candidates for Congress. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
Rhonda Walker on her determination to fight cancer.
I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer.
Conservative fighter Rhonda Walker.
Throughout the course of my chemotherapy and radiation, I never missed a county commission meeting. I wanted to push through and project normalcy. I wanted to be present in my life.
After months of chemotherapy and 2 surgeries, Rhonda beat cancer.
I wasn't supposed to be diagnosed with cancer at 42 years old. That wasn't supposed to happen, but it did. What am I going to do for the rest of my life? I'm going to lay it on the line. I'm going to give everything I have to my children. I'm going to give everything I have to my marriage. I'm going to give everything I have to my community because I have today.
Rhonda Walker, a conservative fighter for Alabama State Senate.
Paid for by the committee to elect Rhonda Walker, P.O. Box 3403, Montgomery, Alabama, 36109.
I'm Troy King. As your Attorney General, I worked hard to keep Alabama's families safe. I wrote and passed the toughest sex offender law in the entire country, a law that Steve Marshall's paid lobbyist actively opposed. I made sure that violent criminals stayed where they belong, behind bars. And when I left office, violent crime was at the lowest it had been in 20 years. Today, it's at historic highs. It doesn't have to be this way. Join me in taking Alabama back. Paid for by the Friends of Troy King, Post Office Box 240818, Montgomery, Alabama, 3612.
They're strong, and then there's Mom Strong. So now that she needs care after her surgery, it's my turn to be strong for her. And it's good to know there's help.
If you have questions about rehabilitation, home health, or care after a hospital stay, call 1-866-KINDRED, and a registered nurse can walk you through the care options that best fit your needs. Kindred Services can provide you with nursing, therapy, medication management, and more. See how Kindred can help. Call 1-866-KINDRED.
I'm Will Barfoot, and I'm a Republican candidate for the Alabama State Senate. But let me make one thing very clear. I'm not a politician, and I don't want to be. I'd rather have dinner with my family than eat caviar. I'm more comfortable in my jeans and boots than in a suit. And political correctness is something I've never understood. I want to bring real solutions from real people to solve the real problems we're facing. It's time to put people above politics.
Paid for by the committee to elect Will Barfoot, 4280 Walhatchie Road, Pike Road, Alabama.
It's time for news and views from 9 till noon. Montgomery's conversational radio show. To join the conversation, call 272-9228. It's news and views from 9 till noon, only on News Talk 93.1 FM. Now, here's Baron and Jack.
Hello, it's me.
I'm looking at this Montgomery VA LLC. I'm not sure that guy's right that called in. It looks like the sale date for the present owner was September 12th, 2013.
When was it built, Baron? Do you know?
About that time. They hadn't been there long.
Yeah, I don't know.
And they just opened last year, didn't they?
Why? And would Martha Roby have had anything to do with that?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know.
If you're going to call people and beat up on them, at least get your facts.
Yeah, I need to know dates.
And be fair about it.
And tell me who's telling you this. Don't just say, "Oh, the guy who used to own it." Okay, who is it? And I don't think it is, but I should probably clarify. I don't think it's the Mark Moody who's general counsel or works in the general counsel's office at the Alabama Bar. I don't think that's the same, Mark Moody. Our number, if you want to get in, 272-9228, 7 minutes after 11 o'clock. We do have another guest in the studio, young Jack Campbell.
Yes, we do. And thank you for playing Todd Rundgren. I know
you like it. I saw it there, and I thought, you know what? I hadn't played that in a while.
I used to know a woman who slept with him. And
Did he say, hello, it's me in the middle?
I don't think he had to. He did say goodbye when he left. No, she was a server at a watering hole in Austin, right next to the state capitol. And I don't know, they played music, and I said, I really liked, Todd Rundgren when he was first starting out. He used to come to Austin a bunch, and he stayed at my house a few times. I was like, She kind of winked.
Hello, so, it's me. Our number, if you want to get in, 272-9228. We have a return guest to the program, and everyone that's actually been in the studio. You've called several times.
Yeah, first time in. Great to be here.
Will Ainsworth, what do you think of our digs? Beautiful, huh?
Love it. It's great.
Is it what you thought it would be when you listen on the radio?
It's better.
He asked for a tissue. He had a nosebleed.
I did.
Coming up here.
I had a tear in my eye. So.
It wasn't a nosebleed, Jack. Yeah, it was a tear in his eye. This is the attic with no static. This is our humble abode. We spend time up here. It's not usually this dumpy, but there's some equipment being reworked and some stuff being brought in. You're running for lieutenant governor. Tell us about how it's going.
Yeah, going well. Been all over the state. Encouraged by the response we've gotten. I live up in Gunnersville, Northeast Alabama, currently serving the legislature. So a lot of people initially didn't know us, but we've been encouraged. It's been great getting to meet people all over the state. Was in Barber County last night, in Montgomery today, going to Mobile tonight. So it's going good. Good response.
Lake Gunnersville, same area.
It is.
I've never been to Marshall County.
You need to come.
Is it really beautiful? As they say, I've never been to Marshall County.
Okay. Well, Jax,
I've been all around.
Boaz, and
I think I've been in every connecting county.
Albertville. Okay.
Yeah.
You're from
Boaz. Yeah. So it used to be kind of the shopping destination of really Alabama. Back in the day, it was. We had over 1 million people a year that came into Boaz for, tourism.
Were they outlet shops?
Oh, yeah, outlet shops. So you had Polo, Gap, all that stuff.
Where's that big-ass yard sale they have every...
That's in Grant.
Is that close?
Yeah. Mile-long yard sale. Yeah, mile-long yard sale. That's part of the district. So.
Now, is that Schofield's neck of the woods, too?
It is, yeah.
Well, is he running again?
He is, and he doesn't have any primary opposition. Got a opponent, I think, that's just qualified as an independent. So.
I like Clay.
Just a masochist that wants to get abused or something?
I guess. Senator Schofield's really popular. Done a great job.
I like him.
So I like
him a lot.
Passed the broadband bill this year. So
so you're a state representative up there in Marshall County now, wanting to move up to lieutenant governor. What's your thought on some of the things that have been accomplished in the legislature the last, I guess, 4 years you've been there?
Yeah, I think, biggest thing, hopefully now we've started turning the page from all this corruption. When I look back in the last 4 years, I've only been there 4 years, I think, unfortunately, our state's taken a hit. With Mike Cubbard, Governor Bentley, Oliver Robinson, Mickey Hammond, it's pretty embarrassing what's happened. I can say since I've been down there, I was one of the guys that led the charge against Speaker Hubbard, not only to try to get rid of him as Speaker, but also against, a lot of the tax increases. I signed the articles of impeachment against Governor Bentley. And so I can say in the last 4 years, certainly, I've been one of the fighters in Montgomery fighting for conservative values, but also just fighting for what's right. Integrity. I think that's important.
What's it been like legislatively? I know you only went through one session with Governor Ivey, but what's been the major difference between the way Bentley handled the legislature and the way Kay Ivey's handled it?
No drama.
Is that major? Is that it?
Yeah.
What was he doing that caused so much drama?
I just don't think he knew what he was doing. I think when you look back on his tenure, he always had a lot of drama. Initially, he ran on no new taxes. First thing he did was $800 million in taxes.
That's true.
Then all of a sudden,
that's a fact, Jack. That actually happened.
Yeah.
We covered that in depth on this program in 2015.
Her message has been she stayed the ship, and for my
you
time,
proud of her? You proud of the job she's done?
I enjoyed working with her. Yeah, it's been good.
I never thought I would be as eager to go cast a vote for Kay Ivey as I am. I think the kind of the gross, disgusting things that happened to her in the last couple weeks sort of solidified my support for her, and I think other people have had that happen. But I think she's real classy. I got some great pictures of her up in Wetumpka talking to my daughter, and the interest she took in talking to her as a human being. My daughter can't vote. She's 11 years old. There's all these other voters sitting around waiting to talk to her, but she was zoned in and she was focused. She wasn't looking over her shoulder at who else was there. It says a lot about, I think, her character.
Yeah. No, I think she's been a good leader. I think part of, you know, one of the things I'm asking her to do right now, and I think part of what good leaders do is they lead, is we've got an issue in Alabama on school safety. And, you know, I think that waiting till next session in the spring, which potentially means nothing's going to get done until the fall of 19, is too late dealing with school safety. And I appreciate, you know, her actually wanting to do something, but we need to have a special session this summer and actually solve the issue of school safety.
Your fellow legislators would kill you if you talked her into giving you a special session before the elections were over.
You know, well, I mean, tough luck. You know, I mean, here's the reality. I mean, I think when you look at it, I mean, there's nothing. I've got kids that go to public schools, and yeah, it scares me that we have over 500 schools in our state that, you know, actually do not have any safety net in the sense that there's not a school resource officer there. So, you know, if we can't afford school resource officers, then we need to use my proposal, which is allowing teachers to be armed where they can defend themselves. And I think we've got to do that. And it's one of the things I'm calling on the governor to do.
Is she going to do it?
You know, you need to ask her. I mean, but I certainly think if she doesn't, I'll say this, okay? I think it'll be one of the first things she's done since she's been in office that's certainly been a failure. Because here's why. If we don't solve the issue after she's got a report back and we show that we have problems and then an issue happens in Alabama, you know, we point the finger back to her. The blood's on her hands then. And so, I mean, we've got to make sure we solve this issue for our children. I mean, that's what it's about.
Our number, if you want to get in, 272-9228.
Could I ask a question?
Yeah.
About the impeachment of Bentley. Did y'all actually do that, impeach him?
I did not.
Okay.
So, I mean, yeah, what happened on the impeachment? I mean, we signed, I was one of the initial 12 that signed the impeachment getting rolling. And then, you know, the impeachment hearing started, right? We had the first hearing. And Bentley's lawyers came, and then Bentley ended up, you know, resigning.
Right.
So.
What was the triggering point on Bentley's impeachment? Did you see evidence of criminality? Did you see evidence of what are the standards? Criminality, mental insufficiency, gross negligence. What was sort of the trigger for Will Ainsworth?
It was using state resources, you know, to listen to an affair. I mean, I just don't think you could do that. I think it was pretty evident that was happening. I mean, we'd heard about an affair, right? And that's not anything to impeach somebody over. But when you start using state resources to do that, and there's a lot of different things. You know, I remember, you know, all the different articles coming out that prove that. Plus, you hear, you know, a lot of people that work for him. And so you hear things. And so I think that was a shame. You just can't use that. I mean,
have you talked to him since he left office?
Have not.
Yeah. I wonder what his thoughts are now on the process looking back. It's been over a year. I wonder if some of the folks reached out to him, what he would say. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I'm always curious.
I know Bentley pretty well, and he's a very proud man, and he probably will never accept in his mind that
he made a mistake.
Yeah, I just don't think he will. But yeah. I read an interesting article in U.S. News and World Report where Ed Henry's talking to the author of the article. And he said, he had a conversation with Bentley, and he says, you know, Governor, if you appoint Luther Strange, we will probably impeach you. And Ed went to the governor, according to this article, to make peace with him, say, I'm sorry, I beat up on you, but. And he said, well, he was going to appoint Luther. And Ed said, well, you know you're going to be impeached or indicted. He said, no, I'll never be indicted. Because I'm choosing Luther's successor, which now, you know, Steve Marshall is a Marshall County boy up there. What are your, and I know you don't want to talk about another race, but did you see any problems with any of that?
You know, I thought Steve Marshall honestly handled it well. He recused himself and put in a lady that did a good job. You know, so I think somebody was going to have to be appointed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody was going to have to be appointed, and then the question is, how do you handle it? And I think he handled it well. And as far as Steve, I mean, he's got a lot of character, and I'm not getting involved in that race.
Yeah,
in Marshall County, I mean, he's got a good reputation.
I've heard that about him. People that have known him a long time seem to like him.
Yeah.
You know, without getting involved in the race.
I hear some stuff's coming out that ain't pretty, but
really. Well, like I said, I mean, we're focused
you run
on
your race.
Yeah, we're focused on winning lieutenant governor.
I'm not asking you for a comment.
For those of y'all that, you know.
So tell us about what's going on in the second congressional district.
I wasn't trying to get into that.
I think somebody was going to be appointed to that spot, and then the question is, how do you handle it? So if the question is that, I think he handled it fine.
I'm always fascinated with
candidates when they run statewide for the first time to ask them this question. Is the state a lot bigger than you thought it was?
Yes.
It's massive, isn't it?
It is, no doubt.
It doesn't look that big on a map.
Yeah.
And when you get out there and you've got to be in Dothan one night and then up in the Shoals and then you got to be back in Mobile and you got to be in Auburn and then over to Tuscaloosa, it's a big state.
It is. It is.
It's a big state. You tired yet?
We're good. I mean, you know, we're going to finish strong to June 5th. And, you know, we think we'll probably, more than likely, the way the polling looks, be in a runoff. And, you know, then after that, kind of, you know, narrow it down to two people and try to win. So we're excited.
Our number, if you want to get in, 272-9228. Gino, sit tight for me. I don't want to try to squeeze you in and cut you short, even though I know your calls are usually brief. But Maria Muldera is calling our name.
Wow.
Midnight, yes, yes.
Very seductive song, Baron.
Very much so. We'll be back.
Place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3, only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
I'm Judge Christy Edwards, and I want to be your next judge on the Alabama Court of Civil Appeals. I believe judges should uphold the laws as they're written and appreciate the importance of ruling clearly and consistently so that the people and the businesses understand their rights and obligations. I'm Christy Edwards. I'm a wife, a mother, a judge, and a conservative, and I'm asking for your vote on June the 5th. The only thing I'm promising you is to be fair and to work hard for the people of this state.
Paid for by committed to elect Christy Edwards, P.O. Box 4211, Montgomery, Alabama, 36103.
Hey, man, what's up for lunch?
Feel like something special?
Well, how special?
Like the lunch special at B.B. King's Blues Club.
Over at Wind Creek, Montgomery?
Yeah. Every Monday through Friday for just $10.99, you get the best meat and three in town with southern cornbread and iced tea, plus banana pudding for just $2.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's roll.
B.B. King's Blues Club, inside Wind Creek Casino and Hotel Montgomery. Price does not include tax and gratuity.
President Trump is one appointment away from a conservative Supreme Court majority, and the court needs conservative state court rulings to overturn bad liberal decisions. That's why your vote for Tom Parker for Chief Justice is so important. Tom Parker is a strong conservative and nationally recognized constitutional scholar. Parker will lead the Supreme Court aggressively in fighting for our liberties and our constitutional rights, just as Tom Parker fought back and beat the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, George Soros wants payback, and Soros is ready to spend millions to defeat Tom Parker. Tom Parker stands up for Alabama and will beat Soros, just as he beat the SPLC. On our side, fighting for us, Tom Parker, Chief Justice. Fair, balanced, unafraid.
This is Justice Tom Parker. Thank you for your support. Paid for by Tom Parker for Chief Justice, Box 11822, Montgomery, 36111.
Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. If you're looking for a great dentist, I want you to know that I trust SmileMakers. The doctors over at SmileMakers continue to raise the bar when it comes to dentistry. People are coming from all over to get a same-day smile. You heard me. You can get a complete smile makeover in one day. Whether it's the result of bad genetics, a bad decision, or just some bad luck, missing teeth can keep you from enjoying the life you deserve. At SmileMakers, you have options. Not only do they perform same-day smiles, but they also offer life-changing dental implants. When you're in need of complex dental work, I recommend the doctors at SmileMakers in Montgomery. Folks, experience and technology matter. Give SmileMakers a call today for a free consultation or a second opinion. 334-269-8086. That's 334-269-8086. Online at SmileMakersAL.com. And tell them Dave sent you.
In my direction, I caught it in my hands today. I finally made a tricky French connection. You winked and gave me your okay.
Don't
you look at me that way?
Take you on a trip beside the ocean.
I know you had Starbucks in your truck on the way over here.
I did not.
You think this is where Starbucks got their name? From Starbucks, no. Moonlight Feels Right. This song got all the way to number three on the charts in 1976. That was 3 years before I was even born.
Yeah, this is a great song.
Feels right.
All right, guys, welcome back in. This hour of the program, as you guys are well accustomed to knowing, is sponsored in part by our good friends over at Gold Plumbing. The gold standard for plumbing services right here in the River Region. 279-8919 if you want to give them a call. 279-8919. You can always check them out online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, coldplumbing.com. If you're the social media magnate type, you can even find them on Facebook. Just search Cold Plumbing in your search window there. Like them, share them, let your friends and family know who you prefer for quality plumbing services right here in the River Region. Don't let them dig up your yard. Somebody, you're going to call another plumber, and they're going to just, they just love to dig. Plumbers think they're ditch diggers. They want to get out there and tear up a yard, tear up a foundation. Don't let them do it. Call on Cole. Cole Plumbing has this proprietary pipelining technology. It's really, really incredible stuff. You're going to want to get in touch with James Cole, CC Cole, Jeanette Cole, Cameron Cole, the whole Cole family over at Cole Plumbing. They put their name on the side of the truck for the reason. For a reason. They believe in themselves because they know they do a good job. And they've been doing that for 40 years right here in Montgomery. Call Cole when you need them, 279-8919. They are number one in the number two business. And Jack Campbell, as they say, when you have trouble with your bowl,
call on Cole.
Our guest this hour is the inimitable Will Ainsworth, who is running for lieutenant governor right here in the great state of Alabama. You want to face the callers?
Sure.
Yeah, we got people like Gino.
Yes.
Hey, buddy.
One word, I'll be real quick. The only thing that's wrong with our governor that resigned.
Yes.
He was really, really, really horny.
Thanks, Gino.
That's it.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
Coming from an 80-year-old man, that is saying a lot.
I have no comment.
Talking about...
You going to weigh in on that one?
Talking about a 70-year-old something, man. So I guess we all have something to look forward to when we're old.
Hey, at least I know that there's still the light of life there at the end of the rainbow. You say Jim?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're on the air, Jim.
I've got a big problem. My son is in school with a child that threatened to kill at least 10 students before the end of the school year, which is Friday.
911, that's the number. Thank you.
Hold on now.
We're not going to handle this over the air.
No, but he may want to ask Will about the...
Because I've called the school's board superintendent and everything.
Okay. Do you have a question for our guest who's running for lieutenant governor on something he can help you with? But don't mention the school name or anything. We're not going to freak everybody in town out. This guy could be a LARP for all we know. They have no proof that this guy, what he says.
He's had violent outbursts.
I believe you, Jim. Take it up with the police. I can't.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to let you freak out the community. I'm sorry. That's inappropriate. I should have dumped the call.
Well, he may have wanted to ask Will about his gun bill.
Well, then don't do it by saying, there's somebody with a gun at the school. They're going to kill everybody.
Yeah, he didn't say that.
That's what he basically said.
Yeah, he needs to call law enforcement.
No kidding. Man, we got some great law enforcement here. We got some great law enforcement. The sheriff of this city, Derek Cunningham, can handle something like that. Chief Deputy Kevin Murphy can handle something like that. Chief of Police Ernest Finley can handle something like that. What are Baron and Jack going to do? And Will, we're sitting in a radio studio in the attic.
He may have wanted to ask Will about his...
Then he should have led with the question and kept the alarm to himself. Randall.
That could have been awful right there.
Man, that was...
That was close.
I need a menu. When you call in here, I need an automated menu. Are you going to scare the hell out of everybody? Press 1, and then it hangs up on you.
Man, Will, I got three questions. One is...
Now, well, come on, Randall, three questions.
All right, well, I'll get to the school thing then. Why, have you really looked into this? Have you really looked into who's connected these school shootings? Do you really think we really have a school safety problem? It's about... I've been around to so many schools. I mean, and you could put a fence and a couple of them and a guard here, but we don't got the money. Let's be real. And, I mean, look in the CBD also. I mean, there's something that really changed some lives in Alabama. Our schools are safe. They're fine. I did have one woman even come out there and ask me what I was doing there. I was at school. I shouldn't have been. I ain't going to say what kind. I was just checking them out. Baron knows how I ride around. Look at me. But school safety, man, these teachers are aware. We don't need no more bullcrap much wasting money on that. We don't need no special session. Just help the kids out here shaking to death that don't have a life. All right, we're going to get these keys on. Donald Trump going to take care of this FBI and CIA problem. And y'all just need to look in a little deeper and quit running with the international news, bro. And have you ever took any money from any Indians any type of way?
I have not.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
On the
Randall gets going, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, on the school safety issue, you know, I would have a difference of opinion on that. I mean, I know of a school district, I'm not going to say, that's got 18 schools that has one school resource officer for those 18 schools. Average shooting, you know, is going to last 3 minutes. Average response time for law enforcement is 5 to 12 minutes. So under that scenario, those kids are sitting ducks. I mean, and I think, you know, this one in Texas as well as the one I think up in Maryland, it shows that if you have somebody there that's proficient with a firearm, you know, it's going to reduce the casualties and it's going to reduce, you know, people getting hurt and potentially killed.
I'm really torn on the issue. And I mean, just bearing my heart for everyone to see, I don't send my kids to school. They're homeschooled. So the likelihood of a school shooting impacting them is next to none anyway. I mean, they're tragic when it happens. You know, 10, 12, 15, 20 people die. It's horrific. And I cannot imagine receiving a call from my kid's school saying your son has been shot and killed. He's 6, he's 8, he's 12, 15 years old, whatever. I mean, I can't imagine. But on the other hand, it's so rare. I mean, the safest place in the world for a child to be is in a school in the United States of America. Safer than a playground, safer than a pool, safer than front yard. I mean, the likelihood your child is going to die at school is almost zero. I mean, it's just next to zero. So, you know, right there I have a pull because the tragedy is so enormous when it happens, but the likelihood is so minimal. The other thing is, it takes a long time to train an 18-year-old kid to pick up a gun and go shoot the enemy. This is someone that wants to do harm to our country and his family and everything else. It takes a long time, weeks and weeks of training. You know, you got to break the kid down psychologically, and you got to hand the kid a gun, and you got to teach him to shoot on command, and even when he doesn't understand the situation. I really worry about a teacher having to shoot a 14-year-old kid walking the school grounds with a gun. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that worries me. And, you know, things like that. Things like, if we don't know which teachers are armed and they're wandering down the hallways, are they supposed to be tracking down the child and looking for them? What if the police come in and see the teacher in plain clothes walking the street with a gun? They don't know the description of the shooter. Does that teacher then put himself in jeopardy? There's so many questions about it. I'm fine with a special session dealing with it. I really am, but I don't want a knee-jerk reaction. I want all the stakeholders, all the experts, psychologists, and physicians, and even military personnel, law enforcement. I want everybody at the table having the conversation. What's sort of your plan for getting interested stakeholders during a legislative session to the table to have that conversation?
Yeah, I certainly don't think it's knee-jerk. I mean, you know, we talked about this during the last session. Yeah. The governor had her task force where she brought everybody together. And I think what we got to do is solve the problem. I mean, and as far as, you know, teachers, I mean, here's what's interesting. I think a lot of times people have a perception of teachers a certain way. And here's what I found out. I mean, there's retired military that are teachers. There's active military that serve in the National Guard that are educators. There's actually law enforcement that work as law enforcement at night and teach during the day. And so I certainly think in every school there's people that are capable of going through the training. And that's key.
Yeah.
The key part's training.
The training
right?
has to be top notch.
And then, you know, and then so they're going to go through the same training as law enforcement, and then, you know, that's what's going to teach them how to react to a certain situation, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, but I mean, but law enforcement they put the uniform on every day. They put a badge, a shield representing, you know, that they need to be safe while they're out there. They carry a gun on their hip. They are in dangerous situations every day. Every day they're looking at the public thinking, I might have to kill this person as they pull them over. You know, I don't know. I mean, do we want teachers in that situation? Yeah. Maybe the answer is yes. I don't know. And that's why I'm glad other people are making this decision, because I don't know.
Sure. I think the thing you never know is how somebody's going to react. I mean, best case is Florida. I mean, you had somebody that's trained, a school resource officer, and you got scared.
Yeah, you got and scared and ducked behind a
right,
car.
I mean,
yeah.
So I think, you know, what we got to do is make sure that each school has somebody that's trained, and then hopefully they do what's right.
Yeah, that's tough. It's such a tough issue.
Yeah, no doubt.
Jerry.
Hey.
Hey. You're on the air.
My question is, has anybody asked teachers if they want to be carrying guns?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, so the whole way...
I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous, ludicrous. Get metal detectors in every school. hire security guards for every school. We spend money for stupid things like special elections. Why can't we take care of our children? Anyway, that's my input.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yeah, thanks for the question. So initially, back in, you know, the spring when this happened, I mean, the whole reason I did this was actually coaches and then teachers reaching out to us. And, you know, we ended up, and we've had a lot of teachers that want it. And I think what you find is it's different everywhere. And part of our bill allowed it to be local control because I think local officials know best. But not only do we have teachers, we have superintendents. We have sheriffs in some areas that want it. And what I've kind of found is the more rural the area, the more it seems to be a need because there's a lack of funding to actually be able to pay for a school resource
officer. Yeah, I think our school resource, I don't know how many we have in Montgomery, but we have 50-something schools. I think most of them, if not all of them, have a school resource officer armed on site.
Yeah.
Gosh, I had a question about it. Here's my question. Your bill would call for them to be APOS certified, correct? Just same certification a trooper or a sheriff or a police officer goes through. Can they get that certification now without your bill? Could you still be APOS certified?
My understanding is I think we had to pass the bill in order, in order for that to happen.
Okay,
our bill would actually dictate to APOS what they would need to do. So
okay.
Change that. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes perfect sense because that's always been my question about it is if I'm just Baron Coleman and I happen to be a teacher, I teach geometry or whatever, can I just go run down and get APOS certified? The local sheriff deputized me. And then I'm a sheriff's deputy, nobody knows, and I got a gun on me in the classroom, and it's legal because I'm APOS certified.
Yeah, but see, you can't, because right now there's a sheriff's deputy in DeKalb County that is a teacher in the day and a deputy at night, and that was one of the examples we used.
And they won't let him carry his gun?
Not allowed to carry. That's
why,
right. It's
why?
Actually a female. So
why won't they let her?
Because you can only do it when you're working actively in law enforcement.
Okay.
That's
the only time you can carry a gun on school property?
That's at least the interpretation that we got from so.
So could you amend that just ever so slightly? I'm just bouncing ideas off brainstorming. Could you amend that prescription ever so slightly and say that an APOS certified deputy sheriff or police officer can carry on school grounds whenever?
Sure.
And you wouldn't need a comprehensive bill and then any teacher who wanted get the county involved because the sheriff would have to deputize the people.
So it's not an issue of them carrying. It's an issue of them being potentially fired by the school board for violating school policy.
I got you.
You follow me?
I do.
Yeah.
Our number, if you want to get in, 272-9228. So many issues. So many tricky issues out there. 34 minutes after 11 o'clock. Will Ainsworth is our guest. He's a state representative for Marshall County. You have other counties, don't you?
Marshall, Blount, and DeKalb.
Okay.
Running for lieutenant governor.
And running for lieutenant governor. We'll be back.
Time, the Joey Clark Radio Hour, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hey, it's Lyle from Margaret's Exquisite Jewelry. We're now located in the Peppertree Shops in Vaughan Road, right there by Chappie's and Doug's Two Salon. Hey, ladies, anybody want a little bigger diamond? Maybe a bunch bigger diamond? How about some bigger earrings? Yeah, me. Yeah. Anyhow, at Marguerite's, you can trade in what you bought from us for bigger diamonds. And guess what? You can trade in what you bought, unfortunately, somewhere else for bigger diamonds. We'll work with anybody, regardless who bought your diamonds. We are the home of the diamonds.
Think Local is a state of mind at Guardian Credit Union. It's about community and what you do with it. Think starting a new car or starting a family. Think new home or update the one you love. Think walking down the aisle and happily ever after. These milestones make life worth living, and we have what it takes to help you along the way. Think Local. Think Guardian.
Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS 912-756.
Hello, everybody. This is Doug Singleton with Bernie Office Solutions. Since 1963, Bernie has been the Montgomery Grown document technology leader in the River Region. During our 55 years, we have seen a lot of copier companies come and go. That's when we do more than just offer our clients copiers. We offer a diverse portfolio, including document capture and storage, digitizing your paper-based processes, and software to manage costs. Call me on my cell at 201-0199 and ask me about our managed print program where we can cut your printing costs in half. 201-0199.
High Caliber Gun and Pawn's name says it all. They are much more than a typical pawn shop. Stop in and meet Danny and the staff. It's springtime and time to save big on lawn equipment and tools. You owe it to yourself and your wallet to check out the deals available every day at High Caliber. Need a gift? Brighten up somebody's day with a TV, Xbox, PS3, PS4, jewelry, or more. If you're into military memorabilia, you have to see High Caliber Gun and Pawn. Now about the gun part of their name. High Caliber Gun and Pawn's expert staff has been dealing in firearms for over 40 years. They have the fairest pricing on firearms in the South. Better than gun show prices every day. And in-house and factory warranties on your purchase. They buy, sell, and offer FFL transfers. Active military gets their first transfer free. If you need a documented appraisal, let High Caliber Gun and Pawn do it for you. You're not just a customer at High Caliber Gun and Pawn. You are family. High Caliber Gun and Pawn on Memorial Drive just across from Prattville Farm Center. Look for the little blue building bursting at the seams with savings.
Hello, everyone. Robbie Pelt with Capital City Roofing. If you think about it, your home is your biggest investment in life. Your roof covers your home, so why jeopardize your biggest investment on a roofer you don't know anything about when you can deal with a reputable roofing company like Capital City Roofing? We have an A-plus Better Business rating and the best manufacturers and workmanship warranties available. We do all residential and commercial roofing applications that are certified through the manufacturer to ensure you get the best material and workmanship money can buy. We also have your project in our best interest before and after construction has been done. Don't hesitate to call us if you have any roofing issues or questions. We will match any of our competitors' price and give you the same great workmanship warranty. We also give free estimates. Give us a call today and let us show you the difference. 277-3311. That's 277-3311. Or you can check us out on the web at www.capitalcityroofing.com. Capital City Roofing. We capitalize the roofing industry.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by Capital City Ace Hardware. When it comes to hardware for your home, Ace is the place. 3215 Taylor Road next to Applebee's.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Well, hi, everybody. The storms will be hit or miss, but there'll be plenty to go around the next couple of days. Today, mostly cloudy, limited sunshine, and a generous supply of scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially this afternoon and this evening. High in the mid-80s, low tonight around 68, and then tomorrow. High in the upper 80s, and still a better-than-normal chance of scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially afternoon and evening. Thursday and Friday, there'll be scattered showers and thunderstorms roaming around both days. The number of showers and storms will actually increase again over the Memorial Day weekend for here and the Gulf Coast beaches. Stay on top of weather changes all the time with our weather app. It has instant push notifications for severe weather alerts wherever you are, plus interactive radar. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Feel like you're on a yacht when you're listening to our program?
In the heart
on a cruise.
From the old days.
Man. Waiting on Captain Steubing to come walking by. That's a Love Boat reference for you young people. Our number, if you want to get in, 272-9228, 272-9228. My friends over at Pet Partners, Pam and Roxanne, they brought the underground fence craze to Alabama over 25 years ago, back in 1992. Nobody had ever heard of an underground fence. They didn't know what an underground pet fence did. And, well, basically what it does is it takes those unsightly, gangly-looking chain-link fences and iron fences and all these other kind of fences that are above ground that block the view of your house and block the view of nature, and maybe you got a pretty pond or whatever. Well, you can have an underground fence, and with a little bitty collar, you can keep your pet contained right there in the yard. Works on cats and dogs. They actually have indoor solutions right now, which are great for the little dogs and little cats, that you can turn on and off and let the dogs inside and outside. But other than that, the dogs don't go running out every time you open the door. And cats especially. There are a lot of people who don't want their cat outside for any reason whatsoever because it'll run off. Well, they have indoor pet fencing solutions. So the door your cat's always sneaking out of, call Pam and Roxanne, 365-5678, 365-5678. Give them a call, Pet Partners, and they can show you the indoor solution so that your pet doesn't escape out that door every time you open the door. It's fantastic. Indoor, outdoor, it's a beautiful time of the year. You know, it's hard sometimes to get your dog shade with a fence, with a traditional above-ground fence. It's hard to work the fence through the trees and get your dog or cat some shade. With the underground fence, they can just go right through those trees. And they put that underground fence in, and your dog can hang out under the shade in the warmer parts of the summer for a little while you have to run some errands, and no harm, no foul. So get in touch with Pam and Roxanne. It's a fantastic service. The gold standard, they work on any brand. You don't have to worry about, well, I installed a different brand, and the brand that I installed, they told me I could only use these people. No. They lied to you. Call Pam and Roxanne. They can work on every brand. They can do new installs as well. 365-5678. 365-5678. Pet Partners, dogfence.com. You can just Google them, Pet Partners, Montgomery, Alabama. You'll find them.
Hey, Will, I have a question. We have Will Ainsworth on, who's running for lieutenant governor as a Republican. I wanted to ask you about that House bill. Was it House Bill 317? This, quote, ethics bill. Everybody we seem to talk to voted for it. What did you vote for it or against it, and why?
Yeah, you know, I voted no, and I think...
Well, you're one of a few, so
I think Senator Brubaker said it best on that bill. You know, he smelled a rat, and I think he's dead on. I mean, I think what that bill has to do with, it has to do with people making money, and I think it has to do with people protecting, contracts that they're getting percentage of profit off, sweetheart deals where they go get an incentive for a company and get paid a percentage of price, and so I voted no, and... glad I did, because I think it's got potential for corruption.
Because a lot of people were pushing it, and what intrigued me was how it had to pass. I mean, it was like people on the sidelines that were promoting it were almost frantic about it, and that always gives you a little uneasy feeling that something ain't right. So
yeah, I don't know how we got Kimber and Toyota Mazda and Hyundai. You know, I mean, I don't know how we ever got them without this bill passing.
Oh, I know. I mean, you hear them tell it.
So,
yeah.
Well, and the other thing, too, is the purported reason to need to pass it was to exempt site selectors. You could easily have exempted site selectors without adding $100 million slush fund, without putting all these other people who are doing all these other things that are clearly lobbying, that are not site selecting at all, and exempting them from registering as lobbyists. You know,
and you know,
because you've been in the legislature, when you register as a lobbyist, there's certain things you can't do.
Right.
That if you don't have to register as a lobbyist, you can do.
Well, good for you for voting, and your opponent, Rusty Glover.
Took a walk. Rusty Glover could have killed it single-handedly.
Yeah.
He single-handedly could have killed that terrible bill, and he went to the men's room instead of standing up like a man and voting.
Right. Yeah, which is a shame, because that bill needed to die.
Well, he was afraid he might not get some lobby money for his lieutenant governor's race, and I would never vote for him.
All the lobby money's going to Twinkle, so he didn't have to worry about that.
Our number, if you want to get in, 272-9228, 272-9228. Christy, you're on the air.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Hello.
I'm good. I'm taking a note out of Randall's book and calling multiple times.
Oh, I didn't know Randall did that. Is this a pattern he has, Jack? I haven't paid attention.
Yes, it's quite a pattern.
Hey, Will, I have a question sort of back to your, wanting to have the resource officers in schools. I am sort of like Baron. I have mixed views, and primarily it's because I just wonder, have you considered or have you talked to anybody that... has come from the viewpoint of what about the kids in school that have special needs, that might have behavior plans in place or things like that? And I ask because my son has an IEP in school. I mean, he's only in kindergarten. But I guess that where I'm asking is about training for those resource officers to be able to understand or to be able to recognize when someone has an actually like violent threat versus maybe a kid that has aggressive behavior that's not really cognitive maybe of their behavior. And so, because there's been a lot of instances with resource officers sort of arresting students that have behavior plans in place, that there's measures to be taken for those kids, and arresting them is not necessarily the answer. So I'm just wondering if you've considered that or talked to anybody from that standpoint.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great point you brought up. And so, kind of two things. I mean, one, when you're dealing with the school resource officers in the school, that's one issue. When you're talking about what our bill did, which just would allow local schools the option, if they didn't have a school resource officer, to train someone in the event that someone came in to do harm with a weapon – and then it would be a last line of defense. So these people we're talking about going through the training wouldn't have any arrest powers or anything like that. It would strictly be a last line of defense to protect the kids as well as themselves in that school system. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So.
It does. Okay, good.
Yep.
Thanks, Chrissy.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Our number 272-9228, if you want to get in, 272-9228. We've talked about your policy positions, but who are you? I mean, who's Will Ainsworth?
Yeah, I grew up in Boas. Grew up in the business community, watched my dad build a business. Went to Auburn, met my wife Kendall there. She's a pre-K teacher and has a tremendous gift with kids. We've got twin boys that are 8, Hayes and Hunter, and a daughter, Addie, that's 6. Feel blessed to certainly be a dad.
And today's your anniversary?
It is, yeah. I've been married 14 years. Yeah,
Heirloom Jewelers, one of our sponsors,
yeah.
Right up the road, hint, 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 hint.
Yeah.
I hope Kendall's listening and expects a big
one. My niece sent a text about you need to go to Heirloom and buy your wife a present for raising a football team, basically, is what.
Ken, that's not funny.
You know, but I think biggest difference in myself and my opponents is I built 3 businesses from scratch. And I mean, y'all know that's not easy. I mean, you know, I got out of school and worked hard. Was a youth pastor and then built businesses. And so, you know, I think one of the things we've got to ask ourselves in this election, especially for lieutenant governors, about do we want somebody? You know, if somebody wants to go into service, do they have to be a career politician that just works their way up, or do we want somebody that's actually done some with their life and then decide they wanted to serve and give back, then go back to the private sector? You know, I'm willing to do that and serve. I don't want to do it forever. I really don't. I think when I look at the people that have been down here and served for a long time, I think Senator Brubaker again said it best. You know, it's not healthy for people to be down here. I mean, you know, I call it fake friends. You got all these people that are, oh, you're great, wonderful. Not at all. I mean, you know, that's, you know, just I think, you know, his model of Senator Brubaker going in, serving, and going back is what we need more of. I mean, I really believe that. And so I think that's probably the biggest difference in myself and my opponents is I'm from the private sector, built businesses. I don't want to do this forever.
My cousin was Speaker Pro Tem of the House when he served. He's from Anniston, and he said, you know, I know I got to take a lot of fun trips because back then people took you to sugar bowls and, you know, took you hunting in, you know, in Texas and back when you could do that. And he said, I know I got a lot of free trips. He said, but damn, my business suffered when I was down here. He had a law practice. So he said it was very hard to be in the legislature and, you know, be a business success. So
it is. I think a lot of people getting out. It's even harder now than it probably was.
I do have a problem with everybody getting out and becoming lobbyists right away. I mean, you know, or running for that reason, and it's obvious some of them have.
Yeah,
what do you mean? Serve a couple of terms.
Oh, and then go be a lobbyist.
And then go be a lobbyist because I know there's a lot of money.
So our second bill, you'll like this. I mean, I feel like we've been pretty tough on trying to, you know, clean up Montgomery, but our second bill eliminated the loophole that, you know, Williamson took advantage of. He was in Medicaid, czar. And then went to work for the Hospital Association. And so, hold on.
Don Williamson negotiated that contract while he was a state employee.
But listen, my second bill eliminated that loophole where it can never be done again.
Yeah.
Because that's a revolving door. And, you know, one of my opponents did just that. I mean, she went to work right from Riley's administration into lobbying within a 2-year period. That would be illegal now. And, that's a big difference.
Did you mentioned one of your opponents took lobbying money. Trying to think, have you taken lobbying?
Sure,
a couple of bits.
Yeah. I mean, all of us have. I mean, but
yeah. Well, I mean, it's part of.
But
running.
I mean, I would say 80-90% of my donations have come from people, individuals. I mean, you know,
the lobbyist loophole. What Don Williamson did is one of the most disgraceful and scandalous things
Absolutely.
I've ever seen done in Alabama. Not just that he went from state executive position to lobbying, he went to lobbying the exact agency he ran. He was the state medical officer. He was the state medical officer. While he was the state medical officer, he's negotiating a big contract with the Hospital Association. He should have been prosecuted. The Ethics Commission should all be fired and scandalized for the rest of their lives.
Never happen again in Alabama unless they undo my bill. We passed and eliminated it.
Well, don't hold your breath. They might.
I was going to say, exempted lobbyists from having to register as lobbyists.
Yeah, no kidding.
I forgot your name, darling. What was it?
Tracy,
that's right.
How you doing?
Yeah. I'm fine. How are y'all doing?
All right.
I was just calling in because I'm a social worker and I go in and out of the schools each day. And so most of the children that I work with have IEPs in place. But in response to the young mother that was calling about her kindergartner, I think it would be a good idea to actually invite the security officers or one or them to be a part of the IEC team, you know, be involved in their educational plan. So that way they're, you know, are made aware firsthand of what that particular child's issues are.
Yeah, but your school resource officer doesn't want to do that for 100 children in a school. And that's what's going to end up happening. Yeah,
I understand.
But I do appreciate it. It's a great thought. Everybody needs to be thinking. We got to have our thinking caps on this one. Thanks, Tracy, for your call. Ronnie, we'll let you finish the segment out.
Okay. Yeah, my question is the education lottery. Where's your stance there, and what do you think about that? And maybe even bringing in the gaming law that they just passed.
Gaming law they just passed? Hold on. What law did we just pass? You're talking about the Supreme Court ruling?
Yeah, the Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah. We don't like to talk about our conservative Supreme Court as an activist Supreme Court passing laws.
Yeah, I mean, so as Lieutenant Governor, I mean, you're looking at a constitutional amendment on any of that. Unless there's a tie, you know, I'm not going to be voting on it. My personal opinion is I don't really think gambling is going to solve any of our problems in Alabama. However, I think it's also hard to argue with letting people vote on any issue. So.
Well, all right, let's say it's a tie.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to vote yes or no on a lottery in the Senate. What would you do?
Yeah, I mean, in the House, I voted no, but it was a corrupt bill.
Yeah.
So, and I've yet to see a lottery bill that doesn't have some ways where people can get rich off the bill. So,
yeah.
Thanks for your call, Ron. Thanks for your call.
What would you be in favor of restoring the powers to the Lieutenant Governor's office? Because right now it's ceremonial. It's kind of a joke, and that was all because Windham was a Republican Lieutenant Governor under a Democrat governor, and was urged to, you know, some people urged the Senate. Now you've got the opportunity, and all the Democrats like Lowell Barron and all those other crooks that were in there took the powers away from the Lieutenant Governor, and poor Windham was just, you know,
just held
he had
the
no
gavel.
Power. He just
the only thing he could do was pee in a jug
because he was afraid to leave. That's why he did it.
Right.
But. Would you be in favor of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. I think, you know, I think at the end of the day, and the reason why it's a statewide elected official, you know, so you represent the entire state instead of one district. And I think it would be important to have somebody presiding over the Senate that had the entire state's, you know, best interest at heart instead of a particular district.
I'd like to see a governor and lieutenant governor run as a ticket.
I don't.
Well, I do. Anyway.
Yeah, not a good question.
Why do you want to see him run as a ticket?
Because just what Will said, as a state senator, you're representing a specific district.
Right.
But when you're lieutenant governor, you still represent a district.
No, you don't.
But
lieutenant governor represents a state.
It's part of your...
You're talking about when you're pro tem.
Right, when you're pro tem, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't like that whole idea.
Yeah, but if you run, I mean, whether you're elected or run as a ticket.
That's why I want powers to go back to the lieutenant governor.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about the
I got myself confused.
Well, you know how to get unconfused? It's lunchtime, and that sort of happens. People get confused around
lunchtime.
You need
sustenance.
You do. And this week, the pasta of the week over at Midtown Pizza Kitchen, ham, mushrooms, and asparagus in a red sauce served over bow tie pasta, topped with Parmesan and parsley. You can pair that with a salad for $9, your daily lunch special over at Midtown Pizza Kitchen. You also get those award-winning pizzas. AL.com comes through, declares Midtown Pizza Kitchen the best pizza in Central Alabama. An online travel magazine rolls through the state and says Midtown Pizza Kitchen has the best pizza in the entire state of Alabama. I would go one step further. I've never had better pizza in my entire life, ever. End of story, period. It's fantastic. The lasagna. Ooh. You like lasagna?
I do like lasagna.
The lasagna is amazing. You like Italian food?
I do.
You should eat there every day because Midtown Pizza Kitchen has the greatest Italian food. They got a great variety. Sandwiches, salads, big fresh dinner salads with vegetables and everything chock full in there.
They have folded pies.
They got folded pies. They got strombolis. They got calzones. They got everything you could ever imagine. Midtown Pizza Kitchen, there are two locations right here in the River Region. Cobbs Ford Road in Prattville at the on the hill right there across from Bass Pro Shops. That's the shopping center. That's the High Point Shopping Center. Get by there. There's a Midtown Pizza Kitchen in there. And right here in Midtown Montgomery, Zelda Road off exit number 3. There is one on the backside of that shopping center. So goodbye, Midtown Pizza Kitchen. When you get a chance, boys and girls, you will be blessed, I assure you. Donovan Ivy, the catering manager, asking why you're there about catering. Will Ainsworth, closing thoughts?
Sure, yeah. Love to have consideration for lieutenant governor. only candidate running from the private sector. And if you look at Montgomery, I've taken on corruption and made the hard votes and took on, you know, the special interests. So we need your help. We're running against the swamp. My name is Will Ainsworth, running for lieutenant governor. Certainly will make you proud. Appreciate you letting me come on, Baron.
Good
and
luck
Jack.
To
thank
you.
Y'all.
Good luck to
yeah.
you. Good luck, Will.
Yeah, thank
you
all.
All right, guys. Dan Morris, Dan Morris Show around the corner. Joey Clark waiting in the wings, doing a couple of trunk twists. I saw a down dog moments ago. Uh-oh, there's the up dog. Oh, don't do that pose. That's gross. We'll be back. If I could.
This is Mike Holmes. I'm running for re-election as your representative here in House District 31. I'm a lifetime conservative Republican who advocates for more efficient use of your tax money, better education of your children, and ethical, limited government. I'm proud of my record of service in the House. I was one of only 23 House members with the courage to sign the Bentley impeachment resolution. My Judiciary Committee confirmed the evidence that forced this corrupt governor to resign. I have the right experience and the knowledge to best serve the people of Elmore County and the Alabama State House. I ask for your vote on June 5th, paid for by the Mike Holmes campaign.
Rhonda Walker on her determination to fight cancer.
I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer.
Conservative fighter Rhonda Walker.
Throughout the course of my chemotherapy and radiation, I never missed a county commission meeting. I wanted to push through and project normalcy. I wanted to be present in my life.
After months of chemotherapy and 2 surgeries, Rhonda beat cancer.
I wasn't supposed to be diagnosed with cancer at 42 years old. That wasn't supposed to happen, but it did. What am I going to do for the rest of my life? I'm going to lay it on the line. I'm going to give everything I have to my children. I'm going to give everything I have to my marriage. I'm going to give everything I have to my community because I have today.
Rhonda Walker, a conservative fighter for Alabama State Senate.
Paid for by the committee to elect Rhonda Walker. P.O. Box 3403, Montgomery, Alabama, 36109.
Hey folks, Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power. Is this your year for a new zero-turn riding mower? If so, stop by CTE this month and check out Hustler Mowers, and you could save up to $500. Hustler is one of America's top brands for several reasons. First, best quality. From the ginormous 104-inch industrial model down to the smallest 36-inch homeowner model, Hustler builds commercial-grade, heavy-duty construction into every unit. Secondly, best warranty. Hustler backs up their best quality boast with warranties up to 5 years. And finally, best value. CTE has Hustler ZTRs on sale starting at only $27.99 and 0% interest financing for 48 months. So, if this is your year for a ZTR, don't wait. The $500 off is only this month while supplies last. CTE Outdoor Power, I-85 at Perry Hill Road and CTEOutdoorPower.com, where for 20 years we support what we sell.
I'm Will Barfoot, and I'm a Republican candidate for the Alabama State Senate. But let me make one thing very clear. I'm not a politician, and I don't want to be. I'd rather have dinner with my family than eat caviar. I'm more comfortable in my jeans and boots than in a suit. And political correctness is something I've never understood. I want to bring real solutions from real people to solve the real problems we're facing. It's time to put people above politics.
Paid for by the committee to elect Will Barfoot, 4280 Walhatchie Road, Pike Road, Alabama.
Hey folks, Dave Ramsey here. If you're looking for a great dentist, I want you to know that I trust Smile Makers. The doctor